firm beneath my feet. Your love is a mystery, how it gently lifts me when I am surrounded. Your love carries me. Thank you.
that we know that in you, you're more than enough. And Lord, we just ask now that you would calm our hearts, empty our minds of the thoughts of today, that we might focus on what you have to teach us, Lord. And we just pray that you bless Janine as she brings us your word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hello. My name's Janine Henschel. I've been coming here for since 85. You can do the math for me. And my husband's on staff here, Steve. And I have two grown children that are married and no grandchildren yet, but eagerly awaiting. So there's my little testimony. Okay, we're going to look at Hebrews 8 tonight, if you want to turn there. And we're going to stay pretty much in Hebrews 8, but I'm going to jump around a little bit. And let's open with another word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful, Lord, that we can just come and just sit at your feet, leave all the worries of the day behind, Lord, not think about all the stuff that was going on in our day, but just come here to rest, to have our hearts and our minds just open, Lord, for what you have for us tonight. And we just ask that your Holy Spirit would speak and give us just that word from you, Lord. We eagerly await to hear from you tonight, Lord. So we ask that you would be in this place. In your name we pray, amen. Okay, my title tonight of the study is A New Covenant, A Better Promise. The purpose of the New Covenant was to establish the basis for man's relationship with God, to have fellowship. We need a better covenant. If the old covenant had worked, we would have no need for a new. Man failed. He found out not only that it was hard, but it was impossible to keep the law. But our God is faithful. He gives us a better promise. I think I've heard Pastor Rob quote this verse more than any other verse, 2 Corinthians 1:20. For all the promises of God are yes, in him are yes, and in him amen, to the glory of God through us. God also gave us a promise of internal change. Let's look at Hebrews 8, 10 and 11. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their mind and write them on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. None of them shall teach his neighbor and none his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them. The law of Moses could declare God's holy standard, but it could never provide the power needed for obedience. We are a sinful people who need a new heart, a new attitude within, and this is just what the new covenant provides. I love what Ezekiel 36, 26 and 27 have to say in the New Living Translation. And I will give you a new heart. I will put a new spirit in you. I will take out your stony, stubborn heart and give you a tender, responsive heart. And I will put my spirit in you so that you will follow my decrees and be careful to obey my regulations. So if you're taking notes tonight, there are seven reasons that I would like to cover that will help us to better understand God's heart in providing us with a new covenant. Number one, the new covenant is better. In Hebrews 8:6, it says, "But now Jesus, our high priest, has been given a ministry that is far superior to the old priesthood, for he is the one who mediates for us a far better covenant with God based on better promises." And Hebrews, you don't have to turn there, but I'll read Hebrews 7:19, "For the law never made anything perfect, but now we have confidence in a better hope through which we draw near to God." Why is this better? Because we have a mediator. Oh, sure, they had mediators, but they were only copies or shadows of the one true mediator. They could never bring man and God together as Jesus did. He reconciled us to God. Number two, the new covenant is established on unconditional promises. Hebrews 8:10-12, we will read again. "For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their mind and write them on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people." Verse 12 says, "For I will be merciful to the unrighteousness, and their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more." This is the crowning promise of the new covenant. It's God's mercy shown in forgiveness of our sins. Jesus bore the penalty of yours and my sin on the cross. The old covenant condemned the heart and stirred the mind to think of failure and condemnation and judgment. The new covenant frees the heart and stirs the assurance and confidence in the mind of a true believer. This is absolute security. This security reminds us that God has a hold of our lives and he will never let go. This means he will direct by the desires he places within. And if God said he would do it, you can be sure he will. Number three, the new covenant is given under obedience, not under fear of obedience, but with a willing heart and mind. Again, let's read Hebrews 8:10. "But this is the new covenant I will make with the people of Israel on that day, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their mind, and I will write them on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people." Under the Mosaic covenant, obedience sprang from fear. But we receive this covenant out of adoring love, worship, and thanksgiving, also having a willing heart and mind. A willing heart and mind means that we have the desire and power to follow and obey God. It means that we have a desire, an earnest desire, to obey God and keep his laws. A willing heart and mind stirs us to love God because he has renewed us, and our love stirs us to seek his face continually. Number four, the new covenant secures the personal revelation of the Lord to every believer. Hebrews 8:11. "None of them shall teach his neighbor and none his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them." The day will come when there will be no need for personal witnessing, for all people will know the Lord. Of course, the ultimate fulfillment of this promise awaits the establishing of the kingdom. "All shall know me" parallels the repeated promise of the Old Testament that the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of God, Gentiles and Jews alike. But meanwhile, how do we get to know the Lord on a more personal way, or in a more personal way? We have a power, an inward power, a spiritual power. He's called our helper, the Holy Spirit. He resides in us. He's not only our helper, he's our teacher. He will teach us all things and bring to remembrance all things that he tells us. We do not become holy people by trying to obey God's law. in our own power. It's by yielding to the Holy Spirit within that we fulfill the righteousness of the law. Number five, the new covenant assures the complete void of sins. Hebrews 8:12, and I will forgive their wickedness, and I will never again remember their sins. He brings us to total forgiveness. This is what we need to hear more than anything, and what the old covenant pictured but could not give. The forgiveness of sins is based upon the mercy of God. We are not forgiven because of works or law. God does not accept us and forgive our sins because we do the best we can or we try to be good. He forgives us because Jesus Christ died for our sins, because Jesus Christ has already paid the penalty for our sins, and we ask God to forgive us through the sacrifice of Jesus. And when we ask, God forgives. And he says, he remembers our sins no more. We may remember, but God forgets. He casts them completely out of his mind and memory. He never thinks, he never comes back to, he never lets it seep in back to his thoughts. What a glorious salvation from sins. Complete and total forgiveness. And must we never forget that it was all through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Number six, the new covenant rests upon accomplished redemption. I'm going to jump over to Hebrews 9, 9:11 through 13. And it says, but Christ came as high priest of the good things to come, with a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation, not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood he entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. First, his service is in his own blood. Not that of a sacrificial animal, but with his own blood. Second, he made his sacrifice once and for all. Third, he obtained permanent, eternal redemption. He cleansed past, present, and future sins, all in one act of redemption. And number seven, the new covenant has made the old covenant obsolete. Back to Hebrews 8, verse 9. This covenant will not be like the one I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand and led them out of the land of Egypt. They did not remain faithful to my covenant, so I turned back my back on them, says the Lord. And then if we want to compare this to Jeremiah 31 through 34, it says, the day is coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the people of Israel and Judah. This covenant will not be like the one I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand and brought them out of the land of Egypt. They broke that covenant. Though I love them as a husband loves a wife, says the Lord. In verse 33, but this is the new covenant I will make with the people of Israel on that day, says the Lord. I will put my instructions deep within them, and I will write them on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. And verse 34 says, and they will not need to teach their neighbors, nor will they need to teach your relatives, saying, you should know the Lord. For everyone from the least to the greatest will know me already, says the Lord. And I will forgive their wickedness, and I will never again remember their sins. The new covenant eliminates the weakness of the old. From this point on, God is speaking. God is a spokesman, pointing out the weakness of the old covenant. The point is this: if the old covenant had been faultless, there would have no need for a new covenant. As I had said before, man failed, and God had to do something, or else man would be lost eternally. This is the glorious gospel, the wonderful news of the new covenant, God did something. He said, I will make a new covenant, one that has an inward power, a spiritual power within the inner man. He gives us the power of a new mind and a new heart. In 2 Peter, it says that we receive a divine nature within. This divine nature creates a desire to love and obey God. By nature, sinful people are hateful and disobedient, but the new nature gives each believer both the desire and the dynamic for a godly life. The law was external. God's demands were written on tablets of stone, but the new covenant makes it possible for God's word to be written on human minds and hearts. God's grace makes possible an internal transformation that makes a surrendered believer more and more like Jesus Christ. If we look at the heart, we know that it's our inner self that thinks, feels, and decides. In the Bible, the word heart has a much broader meaning than it does to the modern mind. The heart is that which is central to a woman or man. Nearly all the references to the heart in the Bible refer to some aspect of human personality. In the Bible, all emotions are experienced by the heart: love, hate, joy, sorrow, peace, bitterness, courage, and fear. And if you didn't already know, the thinking process of a woman is said to be carried out from her heart. Thus, the heart may think, understand, imagine, remember, be wise, and speak to itself. Decision-making is also carried out by the heart. Purpose, intention, and will are all activities of the heart. Finally, heart often means someone's true character and personality. Purity or evil, sincerity or hardness, maturity or rebelliousness, all of these describe the heart or true character of individuals. God knows the heart of each person. Since a person speaks and acts from their heart, she is to guard it well. The most important duty of a woman is to love God with her whole heart. With the heart, a woman believes in Christ and so experiences both love from God and the presence of Christ in her heart. So where is your heart today? Is it being distracted by the do's and don'ts? Does it think it does well by works? Does it think of itself higher than another? Is it under bondage? Is it tired? Does it lose its desire to seek Him? Well, His word is written on our hearts. He tells us, I will be your God, and we shall be His people. Set your heart in true worship with its Maker. Let Him take the throne of your heart. Let it be where He dwells. Let it be His sanctuary. May it cause an internal change. Ask Him to search your heart. Ask for Him to give you a new heart tonight. Allow Him to do His work from the inside out. Wish I knew that song that they sing, you know, how God does the work from the inside out. Allow those do's and don'ts of legalism to become, I know I was going to mess this up, to become the done. That's God's grace. And allow Him to fill you to overflowing with His Holy Spirit. My husband has a picture in his office. And I don't know if you can see it well, but it's a picture of Christ holding a man who is very weary. And I just think it's such a beautiful picture. There's meaning to the white lilies, and we've got the blood. But I just thought it was beautiful of Christ holding us when we're weary, we're tired, and we can just, you know, find the peace in knowing that He has us wrapped in His arms. Okay, let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for your word, Lord. And we do bring our hearts to you tonight. We ask you to search them, Lord. You know them more than anyone. May they be pure before you. May you see those needs in our hearts, Lord, and do that work, Lord, your will. We do sometimes grow so weary, but we know who holds our future, Lord. You do, and we just ask that you would continue to give us the strength that we need as moms and wives and people out in the workplace. Lord, fill us with your Holy Spirit. Give us a new filling, just one of, just an overflowing. May we radiate you, Lord. Just thank you for the work that you did on the cross, Lord. Thank you for the new covenant. Thank you for writing on our hearts, Lord. Thank you for being our Savior. And just ask that you would be in the rest of this night. In your name we pray. Amen.
The fire in my heart, be the way.
Who would like to become the done? Amen. Well, we're going to give you a little bit of opportunity to do that right now. So can I have the prayer team come forward, sit in the front pews here? Maybe that's you in that picture. You're a little weary. Maybe there's something you've been holding on to. Doesn't mean you aren't living a vital Christian life, but we all know there's those things we keep from the Lord. Why? I do not know. Especially since he's holding his arms out this wide. He is the new covenant. Sometimes we just, our tendencies are to cling to the law. I don't know why. But during this next song, if you have something on your heart that you just need some prayer for, come forward and have the prayer team pray with you. Or perhaps you just want to stand and in your, you know, symbolically lifting your hands up to release this thing that the Lord died for, because he died so that we could be free and free indeed. So let's just take this time during this next song and let the Lord, just give it to the Lord, whatever it is. And definitely if you need prayer, come forward, okay?
Amen. Okay, now leave it there, because that's where it belongs. We have been set free. Our chains were broken once and for all. Do not be bound again. Praise the Lord. Yeah, amen. Okay, we're going to end with a song, but before we get that, just a couple matters of practical business. I just love that. Become the done. I think that's my new saying. Become the done. Instead of do the next thing, become the done. Camp Pendleton is having a spa day. I don't know if you saw the announcement in the bulletin on Sunday, and I have some flyers, and things go walking so easily. Aha. This April 6th, it's a Tuesday night, and what we're going to do is we're going to lavish the love of Jesus, Jesus style. We're going to pamper these ladies, these wives of the guys in the 511 who are overseas. And so some of the things that they have help needed, there's a flyer on the back table if you're interested. They need help, they need items, and they need your hands. So you do not have to be a hairstylist. If you just have a really great gifting in haircutting, or you just love to do toenails, or if you love to give massage, awesome. We're just looking forward to being able to really show these women what the love of Christ is all about. And there's the family at Calvary Chapel Vista, boy, when we ask, the call goes out, you women, you just know how to show the love of Jesus. So also there's just some different items that if you can pray about donating them, again, the list will be out on the table and you can sign up there too. So grab one of those. And it's from 5 to 8 on that Tuesday night. And then the retreat is coming. Okay, what's the theme of the retreat?
All things.
Woohoo! You can't go wrong. You're not going to miss anything because it's all things. So I'm really looking forward to that because I'm like hoping, you know, all these things are going to be answered because I got questions. Okay, so signups continue. I think we might have signups tonight. We have signups tonight. I see that head in the back. We have signups tonight and also this next coming Sunday. But after that, we're going to be on a break for Easter. And then there's only so many shopping days left till the retreat. So at least get your deposit in. It's a $50 deposit, and we do have a payment schedule for that. And ladies, if you signed up to help as a volunteer, we got your number now. So you will be getting a call within a matter of weeks. And we'll be getting in touch with you for that. And I believe that's it. So I found out why I have trouble with the announcements is because I can't read, so I made them really big. Yeah, I wrote on there, I need glasses. Janine and I are going to pick my glasses this week. Yeah, thank you. I see that hand. So we forgot to wait. We were going to say hi to Margie. So... see, she's right there. Woo! Yay! Welcome home. We are so glad you're home. It is such a blessing to have you here and be able to finish the study that the Lord put on your heart. We're loving this study, and it's awesome. So thank you, and welcome home. So before we go out with joy and get led forth with peace, let's end in a song.
everything that